Om Shanti, and good morning, as Baba said this morning, a good day free from obstacles. Welcome to our question and answer session on the topic, The Wisdom of Detachment, with Didi Nirmala, also known as Dr. Nirmala. Before I go any further with the introduction of Dr. Nirmala, I'd like you to do an exercise to experience detachment. So I'll explain it first before you do it. I'd like you to stand up and one of you decide who is A and who is B. And A will go first. Just let me explain the whole process. Yeah? So you'll have an A and B. The first exercise you'll do is to practice looking at the person next to you with detachment. And just see how what that feels like for you, how you experience it. Is it difficult or is it easy? And the second part is, person A, both of you still staying in detachment, A will ask B, how was your day yesterday? B will answer, again staying in detachment. Just so that you experience what it is like if you were to attempt to practice this. So I'll repeat, you'll be with someone, one will be A, one will be B. The first exercise, just look at each other with detachment. Then I'll just say to you, person A, ask B, what was your day like yesterday? And B will answer again staying in detachment. So this is just an exercise to awaken you to what it would be like to practice this or experience it. So can you just turn to the person next to you and practice for about a minute experiencing what it's like to be detached. And now, person A, ask B, what was your day like yesterday? But be sure both of you stay with detachment in asking and answering. And please sit. Thank you so much. There isn't sufficient time to ask you to share with each other what that was like. However, I suggest that sometime today you write down what difficulties you experienced with it or how easy it was. Thank you so much for cooperating with that. I will now introduce you to Dr. Nirmala, whom you've already met, and a little bit of the background that I know of her. I know there's much more, but what I do know is that she came into knowledge and surrendered while she was studying to be a medical doctor.
I finished my study.
Oh, correction. She had finished her studies, and she had made a decision that, of course, she's not going to marry if she surrendered. And so her Lokic father gave her what would have been her dowry, gave her a property for her private clinical practice, which also became a center. Is that correct?
Center was separate, practice was separate.
Okay. Thank you.
But both, he financed.
Both were on the same property, or both financed by him.
Both financed by him. They're 10 minutes away walk.
Yeah. So that became her dowry, in other words, from her father. Dr. Nirmala is also one of the few people to be mentioned in Baba's Murli for her purity and her detachment. She doesn't know this, but each time Baba probably says that, we all observe her to see what it actually looks like to have complete purity and detachment. Having had classes with her in London when she visited, I experienced it firsthand, her cool, smiling detachment as she gave classes, and the other aspect was her extreme honesty and essencefulness. I experienced that. And so, to me, she's the perfect person, or we're fortunate to have her doing this particular topic on detachment, because even Baba gives her a certificate for that. So, it promises to be a very fruitful morning, and one that will give us a lot of clarity on the topic. So I have a question first before I put their question to you. And I wondered, Dida Nirmala, if this sanskar of detachment was natural to you before you came into Gyan, or is it something that you developed after coming to Baba?
It was natural for me before coming to Gyan, because even when I moved out from my home and went to center, I had no sorrow, trace of sorrow.
Okay.
Neither my parents had any sorrow. Because when my sisters got married and went to their in-laws' home, my mother was crying. But when I left home, she didn't cry at all.
Why was that?
She was detached from me. I was detached from her. Mm-hmm. And I was just going to stay 2 minutes away from their home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so she would be seeing
you. And
I
wasn't going to my in-laws' house. Mm-hmm. I was going to Baba's house.
So she hadn't lost you. So then, how do we cope with it if we have difficulties with detachment, when you had it as a natural sanskar before coming to Baba?
What we have to do is to attach ourselves to Baba. Hmm. Whichever relationship we are attached to, we establish that deep relationship with Baba. Mm-hmm. So we are getting that support from Baba. We don't need to rely on that relative, because attachment is usually because we are dependent on that person.
Yes, I'm getting.
And we are taking too much support from them, so we are attached. But if we are getting support from Baba, we will be detached from Lokics.
What is the process to get to that? Because when we come into Baba, we will have had a lot of attachments before we came.
So that's where we have to have good meditation and establish that relationship with Baba. For example, if you are attached to your partner, now think Baba as your partner, beloved, husband, whatever. And do that experiment. We have to do experiment. That is, whatever you are doing, do with that partner. And it's so easy. That karma yoga you can do, Baba, with your companion. Come on, Baba, let's do this. Come on, Baba, let us do that. When you eat with Baba. Mm-hmm. When you sleep with Baba. Mm-hmm. So experiment as if Baba is some being and be with him.
Mm-hmm. And the difficulty people find with that, because Baba is a point. But when a person comes in front of you with whatever the sanskar or karmic account you have with them, that's what more quickly rises, you know, before you can think Baba even. You know?
If you can't imagine Baba as a point, as your companion, have Bab Dada with you, Brahma Baba and Shiv Baba. Then it will be easy.
Thank you. That was my question. So I'll now move to their questions. The first one, can you describe the signs of familiarity in relationships and how to effectively use detachment to overcome this?
In familiarity, what happens, we are like a friend, and all the time we relate everything to that person. So as soon as something happens, ring that person, think about that person, talk to that person. And now what we have to do is make Baba as your friend. Whenever there is any good news, talk to Baba. Whenever there is any sorrowful news, talk to Baba. And experiment. Go with Baba, talk to Baba, sleep with Baba, eat with Baba, do all activity with Baba. So you are making Baba as your real friend and talking all the time to Baba rather than that individual. Otherwise, in familiarity, you spend a lot of time with that individual.
True.
And sort of that is, first we start familiarity, attachment, lust, one after another, it goes. And that's where we have to be careful and not. Because many times, it may be just excuse of service, you are service companion. And that's where you are all the time talking to that person, sitting with that person, planning with that person, etc.
Yes, yes.
But what we need to do every time, keep Baba in between me and somebody else. So it's not only two of us, we are three.
Three of us.
Three of us. And that will help us to not to attach to anyone. Because sometimes teacher may get attached to student, student may get attached to teacher. But if teacher is keeping Baba in between her and student, then there will not be attachment. Because otherwise that sort of a bond is created.
Definitely.
Between teacher and student or mother and children. But once we have that alaukik vision, soul consciousness, and look at them as Baba's children, so keep Baba all the time in between, and then there will not be attachment or familiarity. Because naturally, for service, we have to sit together and plan. But when Baba is in our intellect, naturally, planning will be better, and there will not be familiarity or attachment.
True, true. Because even as you're talking, I'm doing that, and I'm experiencing that I'm much more detached and calmer. So yes, that does happen. I hope that answered whoever question that was. I hope that gave the answer. And at some point, maybe we have question and answer from the audience if you want to clarify anything. Question two, is it true the more detachment there is, the more true love there is?
Mm-hmm. Not always. Because sometimes a person is taking detachment in a non-loving way, non-caring way. Mm-hmm. Suppose our flatmate, whether Brahman or whoever it is, mm-hmm. is sick. And I will say, oh, that's her karma, undetached. Let her suffer for her karma. I'm busy with my job. Okay, finish. So it can be, detachment will be like a non-caring. Whereas love means you care for that person. Mm-hmm. But loving and detached, that is, you care for that person, but you don't suffer because that person is suffering. If there is attachment, mm-hmm. you suffer because that person is suffering. Sometimes you suffer more than the patient.
Yes.
That's what happens with parents, no? Children may be unconscious. They don't know where they are, what they are doing, etc. But parents mm-hmm. would be panicking. What to do, where to go, which doctor, how.
Mm-hmm. True.
So the thing is, there is attachment, feeling of I have to help that child. So that's where we have to see there should be love as well as detachment. But there is not always balance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And detachment can be with love, without love.
Mm-hmm. So at the moment when you recognize that you're having any internal reaction, that's the point when you need to recognize that you are attached and go back to Baba at that point.
Yeah.
If you're sufficiently aware.
Yeah, you have to check yourself because Brahman life is checking yourself and changing. Mm-hmm. So you have to be really checking all the time how you are acting and reacting.
So true love is actually?
True love means accepting a person as they are, mm-hmm. care for them, respect them, and cooperate as much as you can.
Does that mean doing what they want you to do?
Hmm?
Does that mean doing what they want you to do when you say cooperate with them?
No. That is, you have to discern. Not to just say, haji, haji, or yes, please.
Yes.
But you have to see that there is balance of love and law also. That you are following the law, disciplines, maryadas, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Balance. Not love means, okay, you want to do this, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So the discernment has to be there, which requires maturity as well. Yeah.
Of course, and mm-hmm. we have to discern, no?
Mm-hmm.
Discerning power is very essential in Brahman life. Because there is very narrow line between love and attachment.
Mm-hmm.
So you may say, oh, I love my child, I have to do this, all this. But then there is attachment, my child.
Mm-hmm.
So when there is I and my in between our thinking, there is something wrong, attachment.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we say everything belongs to Baba. So it's Baba's child.
Mm-hmm. Practically, how do they do that? How would one with a child, because I don't have children, but how would they practically be able to make their child, because I know mothers have a deep bond and attachment to children. So practically, again, I know you've said before that you put Baba in between. And then practically, they then have to use the power to discern to do what they need to do for the child, but not have that inner disturbance. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So you have to be caring and doing your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we go beyond our responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because once children are earning and self-sufficient, then parents should not worry. Let them go or do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
Not to think that, no, I have to control them or I have to do something extra.
Or guide them.
Extra.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. This is an unusual one. You appear very detached in your manner and tone when you read the Murli. Is this because of your detachment or is it your natural way of being? You appear very detached in your manner and tone when you read the Murli. Tone.
Mm-hmm.
Tone of voice.
Tone.
Yeah. Is this because of your detachment or is it your natural way of being? So even before you came to Gan, perhaps.
Whatever is happening is natural. So natural is detachment also. And the tone is also natural. Because I don't pay special attention to the tone or anything. Just so conscious and reading, expressing what Baba is saying.
Mm-hmm. So it's a soul conscious state which gives a detachment, and so it's natural.
Yes.
Okay. I think you've answered this one. How to be detached and yet engaged with others. I think you've answered that. Thinking about relations, friends, and those who I feel comfortable to talk and with whom I've had trouble or who have helped me, how to be free with this. I think in a way you've answered that, but I'll repeat it. Thinking about, so the person I gather is thinking a lot about their relationships, their friends, and those whom they feel comfortable to talk with and with whom they've had some trouble or maybe who have helped them. How to become free from this?
So that means how to forget the sorrow that you have taken from them.
The sorrow they've taken or even the attachment from the comfort they've given because they're easy to talk with.
One is those who have given sorrow, hurt you.
Yes.
And another is?
Is those that they feel comfortable to talk with.
So what do you have to be detached?
It's two.
How to be detached?
I guess they say how to be free from this, but really our topic is detachment, so it's how to detach from this, really.
Mm-hmm. Now, naturally you will be feeling comfortable with those who are giving you
joy.
They're nice and friendly and loving and all.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be friendly and loving, but we have to see that we are not attached to them. Don't get attached to them.
Which is the feelings internally.
Yeah, because sometimes those who are nice and you are taking support, you become dependent on them and become attached.
Mm-hmm.
So that you have to see, love, care is good.
Mm-hmm.
Giving and taking.
Mm-hmm.
But don't become attached, taking too much support and dependent. But those who are giving you sorrow, hurting you, what we need to do is forgive them. As Baba was saying, no? Those who are ajnani, those who have got evil sanskar, because Brahman doesn't mean that they have transformed completely.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them may have some.
Mm-hmm. It's a journey.
Old sanskar. So what we have to have mercy for them, not anger or revengeful for them.
Mm-hmm.
Once we have mercy for them and forgive them, we forget. So we don't become negative towards them. So that's where I have to see that I have to be merciful and forgiving them.
Mm-hmm. What would come first is probably forgiving themselves, because they've got that attachment within. So to make that leap to forgiving the other, it's like a big step, isn't it? To forgive the other when they've really, you've taken sorrow. So,
first of all, I should not take sorrow.
Yeah, that's why I said maybe we start with forgiving
ourselves. First of all, I should not take sorrow. Ideally, I should not take sorrow. Because whatever they are doing, if I see them as an actor playing their role, that is their drama, that is their role, they are playing their role. Mm. Or I understand that there must be some karma. Either they are creating now, or past karma I have to clear now.
And how do they clear the karma?
Yeah, I'm clearing karma because they are giving me
the sorrow.
Sorrow.
Okay, so the recognition.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
So realizing that nothing new. I had hurt him in past, they are hurting me now. So, clear karma.
And hopefully they don't take more sorrow by recognizing that they must have created this.
Whatever they do is up to them, no?
Mm-hmm. No, as a person who is taking sorrow. If I'm taking sorrow, I have to recognize, give more sorrow,
I have created
this situation that I find myself in.
I have to recognize that I'm clearing my karma. And if I don't take sorrow, if they are creating their karma, I am not...
You're free.
...any involved in that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. A bit similar. Feeding off bodily things, people's attitude, their nature, it's a bit similar, I think. But the person is basically saying that they have wrong vision, wrong thoughts of lust, and they're now overtired and unable to control their mind. What is the right way to deal with this?
Other person or themselves.
The person who has written this, I think, is saying that they're having wrong vision, thoughts, lustful thoughts, and they're overtired. That person himself is now overtired and unable to control the mind. What's the right way to deal with this?
What one has to do is first with yoga power to change sanskar. Suppose somebody has greed, with yoga power have awareness that Baba is giving me so many treasures, I'm content. Whatever I have received from Baba, love, peace, knowledge, I have lots of treasures, I'm content. Those who have lustful thoughts, because he's clearly saying lustful thoughts.
Yes, he said it.
Lustful thoughts.
He says, easily, thinking automatically and easily about lust and wrong vision.
So that's where they have to develop more soul consciousness, because when they look at the body, naturally, the lustful thoughts come. So don't think about the body. Keep the mind busy, soul consciousness, and to avoid Maya, or negative thoughts, impure thoughts, keep the mind busy with churning yarn, spinning the cycle, and keep the body also busy doing activities. More you are busy in yarn, yoga and karma yoga activity, you will be free from impure thoughts. But it requires all the time attention and not sustain impure thoughts. Because sometimes we sustain impure thoughts and carry on impure activities. So that's what we have to be very careful. Diet, we have to be very careful.
Diet? Oh, okay. Would you like to say more on that?
Because if I'm eating in Baba's remembrance, Baba says, the pure food will make your mind pure. Impure food will make your mind impure. So whatever food I'm eating should be cooked by Brahman, offered to Baba, and eaten in Baba's remembrance. Company, I have to be careful. Because sometimes these people who have lustful thoughts, they will watch porn movies or something, movie advertisement, or watching movie, or reading loveful novel,
even the news,
etc. So that we have to be careful about all these things, as Baba was saying this morning. No, you have to be under the maryadas. If you cross the maryada, cross the boundary, then naturally Maya is waiting to attack us. And that's why Baba says, good pure food, company, soul consciousness, amritvela, powerful. Keep the company of people who are churning yarn and talking about good things rather than, because sometimes in the office some companions are talking about their lustful life and all such things, or they are keeping such pictures. You have to see that those pictures are removed and you are not getting involved in their conversation. So you have to be careful a lot in Brahman life. And mainly, don't eat too heavy food at night.
Oh, eating too late is also an issue.
Late and heavy food. Because then your sleep is not really relaxing, because the stomach and intestines are active during your sleep also, so you don't get a real good rest. So no late dinner, and especially heavy dinner.
How late?
Light.
How
dinner.
Late would you say is late?
Ideally, it should be better before 7. Ideally.
Okay. Because we eat after
Dr. Satish
here.
Gupta says eat at 6 o'clock.
Who
between
said?
6 and 7. Dr. Satish Gupta.
Okay.
Between 6 and 7.
So that would be before meditation.
Depends. That's what you have to organize your timetable accordingly, or your service also accordingly. But that is ideal. Whether we can follow or not, it's a different, because here the dinner bell starts at 7:30. So we can't eat before 7:30.
Mm-hmm. But perhaps the person with the questions needs to particularly pay attention, because this may not apply to everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you may have answered this. What are the steps to take to achieve detachment? What are the steps to take to achieve detachment?
We have talked about
it. I think so too. Yeah. What is the link between purity and detachment?
Purity is vicelessness. So giving up all vices is not only attachment, but purity means giving up body consciousness, ego, greed, attachment, lust, anger, revengefulness, jealousy, everything. Purity includes everything, all vices. Whereas detachment is only one of the vices.
Virtues.
Vice.
Detachment is one of the vices?
Attachment.
Oh.
Attachment is one of the vices, or detachment is one of the virtues.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many other virtues or qualities that is needed for purity.
Okay. Thank you. How much can you or should you do to serve one soul who you are in a lakkhic relationship with? And when does serving them through the mind mean that you are increasing attachment?
Serving through mind will not always create attachment. But if you think my husband or mine, then naturally attachment. But if you are serving with this awareness, my alaukik brother or sister or alaukik. So having Baba in between, that this is my Baba's son or daughter, my brother. So having that awareness, if you are serving, you can serve without being attached. And I think if you find even little difference between their previous sanskar and after you have been serving through mind, keep on serving if you are staying there, if you are with them all the time. Then that is, you can keep on serving all life.
Hopefully at the end we'll have a little time, because whoever asks the questions, for us to find out if they feel they've been answered. Yeah. And they had another question. Oh, it was an example. Example, my lakkhic father, brother soul, is dying and I am here in Madhaban sending him love, light and good wishes. No sorrow, but how often should I be bringing him into my awareness? Sorry, that was the second part of the question.
You don't need to bring all the time in awareness, but when you are meditating, give sakas to that soul.
Can you explain sakas for them, please?
So when we are meditating, I am remembering Baba, but I have that aim that this yoga power should be donated to my father.
So you said that before you start the meditation.
So that aim is there, because otherwise yoga power will be benefiting me. So other than benefiting me, let it benefit my father or whoever we want to give yoga donation. And that's what we do, no, in the morning for Dadi Gulzar.
Yes. But there's some first timers here, so they may not even be familiar with the word sakash. Yeah. Okay. This is a question that may take us a little away from detachment, but I don't know. And it's the last question that I have, actually. Is there anything you had to work on?
We have to work.
Is there anything you, Didi Nirmala, had to work on?
I had to always work, and all of us had to work. Mm-hmm. Until we leave the body, first we had to see that we have become Bapsama. Mm-hmm. So whichever quality is missing, mm-hmm, I had to have. And I think I haven't got enough mercy for all the souls.
Oh.
All the souls. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think, oh, this soul is like that. So, need to have more mercy and give them sakas, good wishes, so that they get uplifted. So it's time to uplift all the souls. And that's a big task that we all have to do. Reveal Baba through our stage, through our words, and all different means.
Isn't that first? Through our stage, revealing Baba through our stage. Doesn't that come first before we're actually fully doing service through other methods?
This is the last stage, no?
Okay.
To serve through stage.
Through revealing.
Through our stage should be such powerful that we are able to give vision to other souls, to give them power, to give them peace, to give them whatever they need. So to bring benefit to the whole world and change the world, that's a big task that all of us have to do. Because Baba has given us knowledge. He is giving us yuktis to do everything we have to do. So all of us have to first reach our karmati stage and then help others to reach that stage.
So even if we haven't reached it, we're still doing good service.
We can be doing, and we are doing. We are doing right from beginning, isn't it?
Yes.
Most of us, before we've completed 1 year, we started service. So service we are doing. But then final stage is to reveal Baba. And those souls who are looking for whatever, because Bhagats, some of them are looking for mercy, peace, happiness, love, we have to share with them. So give donation to them, bless them.
So in our meditations daily, at some point we should be giving service to the world.
Of course, in the every day in the evening, not sometime. Every day in the evening, especially, I have that aim to serve the world.
Thank you so much, Didi Nirmala. And what I'd like to do now, these questions that were asked, I don't know if they answered you, or if anyone has other questions that you would like answered, so we can just have a few minutes of question and answer. Anyone has a question they'd like to ask?
There is a microphone here.
I don't see a
You
hand.
Can come in front if you have a question. Yahi rakh dena.
So if you'd just like to say your name and where you're from, and then ask the question.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
Maryam from Abu Dhabi. I was just wondering and interested to know how Didi deal with, I know she has that power to discern, but Not all souls are same. There are some sweet souls, sensitive souls, and whatever, different level. And not everyone will accept the detachment behavior. So in your journey, how you dealt with sensitive souls, those who already maybe took sorrow from your detachment, or they may take sorrow in the future. So how you deal with such situation?
Will you repeat that question?
Yes.
She will repeat.
What I understood, and you can correct me, is that how do I deal with people who have taken sorrow from me because of my detachment?
Because whatever I decided, advices I gave to these people, and they took sorrow from the advice.
They took sorrow from the advices that she gave to them. So she's wondering how to bridge that gap with them.
Om Shanti. What you need to do is, if you realize you have given sorrow, you have to go and tell, I'm sorry. And share love with them. Because usually in yajna, what they used to do is, if anybody had any conflict, then Baba, Mama or Dadis also, what they used to do is bring them together, tell them what have they realized, what they have done to each other. And then they will say, okay, hug each other. Shake hand with each other. So that's how we have to really then share love by saying, I'm sorry, I really love you, and I didn't mean to give sorrow, but because of this and that, that I told you like that, or I did like that, so I'm sorry, please forgive me.
Has that answered you? Yes. So it's basically you taking the steps to heal that bridge is what I've understood. Yeah. Thank you. Name and where you're from?
I'm Shanti, Nancy Mills from Australia, from Canberra. Didi, you mentioned it's time to uplift all the other souls, bring them to their karmateet stage, etc., and reaching our own karmateet stage. How quickly can Baba make an individual powerful enough to do that, such that they can powerfully uplift others? Does it depend on the individual's own innate strength and Baba's power, or does it totally depend on the amount of yoga we're doing in Amrit Vela, etc., the hours that you've put in? So there's kind of two questions.
What I've understood is, how quickly can Baba make you powerful so that you can uplift other souls?
You can uplift other souls.
So that she could be able to uplift other souls. How quickly can Baba uplift someone or her so that she can become powerful enough to uplift the souls of the world?
Baba is openly giving us powers. It's our duty to get that power at Amrit Vela and be Karma Yogi all day. Because more we pay attention to our yoga state throughout the day, we will become powerful. It's not Baba will choose that, okay, you become powerful, you become powerful, and not make everybody. Baba says, my treasures are open. You collect them whenever you want and however many you want. So it's up to me to collect the treasures or powers.
So it's not dependent on my own physical strength. So can...
My mental strength. My... How I connect my mind. Mm-hmm. Even if you are sick, you can be meditating and sharing your treasures with somebody. Because I know in Australia there was one lady, she had cancer. Before she had cancer and she was unable to move around, she used to meet her friends and give her knowledge. But even when she was unable to move around, at least she was able to talk on the phone. So she used to all the time talking to her friends in the phone and giving them knowledge. So that's how you have to do is, body may be whatever it is, because in Kali Yuga everybody's bodies are a bit crooked, sick. So we have to just go beyond pain of the body, remember Baba, and share our powers with others.
Thank you. I have one more question, if that's okay. Mm-hmm. When we are giving Sakash to others, to uplift others, aren't we at the same time getting the benefit of Baba's energy for our own burning of our sanskars at the same time?
You can't do both together. I can't give to this person and keep myself also. And that's why early morning, keep your time for yourself. In the evening, you can give sakas to others.
Thank you. Thanks for the question. Anyone else? Please come to the mic. Give us your name and your country. Go ahead.
I'm Shanti. Jean-Luc from France. Sister, how do you know, or do you know, what do you do to avoid to produce karma with people?
Pardon?
What do you do to avoid to produce karma with people?
What do you do to avoid producing
to
karma?
To produce karma with others. It's simple. I'm French, sorry.
Your French accent is what I'm working with.
What do you do to avoid to produce karma with others?
Okay, what do you do to avoid producing karma with others?
Yes.
To produce karma.
What do you do to avoid creating karma with others?
Mm-hmm. In order to avoid impure karma or vikarma, because we have to be all the time reacting with each other. Mm-hmm. So karmas are there. What our aim should be to do charitable karma and not impure karma. Mm-hmm. And in order to do charitable karma, I should share Baba's treasures. Knowledge, love, peace, happiness, mercy, etc. So I do charitable karma and make sure that I don't have any vices which will hurt other people. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm hurting somebody, whether knowingly, unknowingly, whether intentionally, unintentionally, by my, sometimes people are rough or they are a bit abrupt, or they are not paying attention to somebody speaking and they are ignoring them. So all sorts of things which can hurt other people, little things also, that will create vikarba. And that's what I have to pay attention, not to hurt anybody by my thoughts, words, actions, vibrations, etc. Because even our vibration, negative vibration, will hurt other people. Because people are sensitive nowadays. They will be hurt. So we have to be sensible about their sensitivity.
Mm-hmm. You have to be sensitive about their sensitivity. So it's actually being very self-aware, that constant checking and changing. Constant checking and changing, and possibly going even more introverted rather than coming in too much into contact with others. Anyone else? Any of the questions that were asked, if you did not feel they were answered? Name and country, please.
I'm from Canada.
Your name?
Pierre. Okay. How could be I could be detached from the cellular ringing when I meditate and the people who say in my ear? You detach of that?
How do you detach from the snoring and the cell phones going off while you're trying to meditate?
Yeah, and when people answer to the phone and you meditate, you got a nice chit-chat with God, and that people, did you, I'm not detached of that. That's come and I said, look, and I keep good wishes. The wishes she
snoring stopped. During meditation or snoring at night?
Meditation, where we here in the meditation room.
You should alert the snoring person and we will tell everybody to turn off their cell phone during meditation and classes. Everybody has to be careful because it's not easy to be detached from snoring person and somebody talking on the cell phone during meditation, especially meditation. It's not easy. So we have to be careful. If we are feeling sleepy, better go out for a walk. Go and drink water. Refresh yourself, not to disturb others.
I see someone coming. Thank you, Didi Nimrlal. You may also like to probably share what it was like for you at the exercise that we had at the beginning, if that was difficult to stay detached while talking or asking the question, or just looking at somebody that you might be familiar with to stay detached while relating with them. Okay. Your name and your country?
Okay. Sister Sylvie from France. Didi, yesterday we had a session about how to stay stable in a world that is transforming. And I would like to ask which qualities, in your opinion, we should develop when we see the world is, like the digital world is accelerating, and as we said, mobile phones always interrupt, everything is going so fast, how not to go against the wall?
I think what I understood from that is how not to get involved in all the scenarios going around us.
Is it scenario?
No, which, what are the qualities?
What are the qualities? Sorry, I
was
distracted.
Which would develop
for a
more?
Minute.
What are the qualities and how to develop these qualities more? What are the important qualities we should develop to stay stable in this transformation?
In the world or in the digital world, what she
says? I think she's referring to all the world. What
especially
qualities,
the faster digital world, where everything goes faster, interruptions, the whole craziness.
Digital as well.
Digital,
fast track world.
Main thing is, one has to be really looking at everything as a drama. It's a drama. All is happening, everything is happening, drama. I'm just observer. Then you can remain detached. When you remain observer, you can remain detached. And with digital world, I think we should not get too much involved unless we are ourselves doing some service. Because otherwise it can take our so much time and energy and eyesight also. So that's where you have to see that you have to limit your time, how much you spend on Facebook and how much time you have to do other activities. Because I know sometimes some people spend so much time on computers. So that's waste of time, unless you are really producing something for service.
She was also asking what qualities she needed to do.
Qualities, observer and detached. Observer and detached.
Okay. Om Shanti, you need to turn it on. Can you just, there's a little switch that you need to turn it on.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
My friend, she works in Thailand.
Name? Name? What's her name?
B.
Oh.
Then she's got a restaurant, vegetarian restaurant. She has to work everything herself. But sometimes when so many people come, she cannot keep her, like, you know, she gets quite disturbed and all that. Like, after Amrit Vela, she's got very good mind and, you know, stable. But when too many people come and she has to do so much of work, then she forgets all about that and she cannot, you know, be stable. So how to handle that?
Too much. She gets overwhelmed with her work.
Yeah.
And she loses her stability that she gains at Amrit Vela.
Yes.
Okay.
Because she's changed her restaurant to Baba's restaurant, so she wants to keep, you know, give all the good thoughts to everyone. Then she cannot do sometimes when there's too much of work like that.
She gets overwhelmed in her work.
Okay.
Main thing is she has to balance herself. Not to have too much work. Because when you have too much work, naturally you get tense and uptight. And if there are too many people coming and wanting something, I think she's running a restaurant, isn't it?
Restaurant. She's made it Baba's restaurant.
Restaurant. So that's why she has to limit her time and you yourself have patience. Work slowly at your pace so that you are in Baba's remembrance as well as satisfying your client.
Did she understand that? Yes. She has to have patience and she has to balance her time, the
and
work
go
that she's
slowly.
Doing.
Don't worry. Don't feel that they are there. I have to all give same time or something. Give one after another slowly in Baba's remembrance.
Claire? Om Shanti. Thank you for the question. Is that it? One more, last one. While he's coming to the mic, didn't Nirmala mention that you need to have all relationships with Baba? David Bai from the art department has produced a poster called One with All Relationships, and it, you can obtain it by telling Brother Rahul that's there that it's Shiva 87. So it's a design that he created in color with having all relationships with Baba. So you ask for Shiva 87.
Om Shanti, I am from Sri Lanka. Baba told us in abnormal situation we can collect the food, water and etc. This message can be said to the outside people, especially for our relatives, can be said.
Brother, what I think I'm understanding is that you said Baba can purify water and everything? Yes?
Baba told this message for only for special Brahmins or not of the Alaukik people. Not in the Gyan people.
You said even Lokic people were told it, that Baba will purify the water.
Yes.
And what is the question?
The question is, Baba told us in an abnormal situation, we can collect the food and water like that. So because this message can be said to the outside people, because especially for our relatives without in Gyan people.
You're asking if it can be said to Lokic people as well.
To purify water for Lokic people. No, no, you come on the mic and clarify.
Oh, I think...
The three instructions of Baba to store food, and he's asking if it could be shared to other Lokic people.
Am I right, brother?
Oh, or it might create panic, you mean? Apparently, because we've been told to store water and to store food, he's asking if this can be shared with Lokic people as well.
It's up to you how much you have stored and whether you want to use it for yourself or for others also.
No, he's asking.
Because everybody will be asking you.
Well, he's saying, oh, so he needs to tell everybody.
No, it's he has to decide.
No, he's asking, I think, if he can tell Lokic people as well
to store
water and food. The
answer
is no.
Last week, or the week before, Daddy Gulzar's email had three instructions. To do Amrit Vela, to store food and water for bad times ahead, and to settle conflict. I think that's what he's referring to.
Yes.
So he's asking, should we share that with all of our other people around, or will that cause alarm?
I don't, unless they really respect you and think you are telling them something good. Otherwise they will say, you are nuts. Because people will not believe in destruction, that destruction is soon or something. So unless, as I said, if they are respectful for you and they think that whatever advice you are giving is right, then you can definitely advise them, those who are your friends and relatives and all. But those who are neighbors, and they, as it is, they think Brahma Kumaris are nuts. So they will not respect your advice and laugh at you.
Okay, I think that's it. Didi Limrila will lead us now in a meditation. But before I do that, I just want to thank you so much for giving us so much food for thought, things to churn and things to reflect on. And so I also thank you all for the questions that you had, very thoughtful questions, and I trust it answered some of mine, and I trust that it answered yours. So Didi will now lead us in a meditation.